T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Whoa, this rocks. Good afternoon. We got to Friday, and Friday rocks. If you haven't noticed, all government spending moving forward is not to pay for things or for services, but instead is to buy concepts. Two concepts now drive all spending plans for the Democrats: equity, social justice. That's where they're putting all the money, which is, of course, nowhere in particular. It's a slush fund. All spending is now a slush fund. It doesn't matter what it might have been for. It is now for that. That's the new scam. That's the natural conclusion of basing all government policy on racism, calling everybody a racist, everything being race-based. Blacks are 12% of our society, yet all Democrat policy and all spending in the state of Connecticut is now based on race, because race is the way they keep everybody off balance and dizzy and afraid to challenge anything. Here to talk about it with us, Av Harris, who used to be the communications guy for the Department of Public Health in the Lamont administration, and now he's here. Hey, Av.
Hey, happy Friday. How are you?
Fridays rock, don't they?
Excellent. Excellent.
You don't sound convinced. Come on, put some heart into that.
No, I mean, listen, I would like to see a week go by without seeing snow flurries come down. That would be nice. That'd be a good start.
Yeah, it's coming soon. You'll be complaining about all the heat and humidity very soon.
All the heat.
All right, so new budget. Legislature worked on their version of the thing the governor already proposed. You have any reaction to that document they released night before last?
Well, I'm not surprised by where they chose to target some of their tax increases and tax decreases. So overall, they are increasing the revenue collection or the taxation by about $600 million over the last budget biennium, but it's interesting to see where they're taking the revenue from. Some of the things in there seem to make sense. Some of the things in there seem to be kind of make your head scratch a little bit. But it's setting up a budget showdown with Lamont. Now Lamont does not like taxing the wealthy people. He looks at how that was tried a couple of times under Malloy, The argument is, well, it chases wealthy people and jobs out of the state. I have yet to see the merit to that argument, because I don't really see that happening, especially after the last couple of income tax increases in Connecticut. But there were some fiscal controls that were put in the bipartisan budget compromise that passed in 2017, which if everybody remembers, they didn't get a budget that year until November. And it was a real fiscal crisis for the state. But those fiscal controls, by and large, they've held. And so there's been an expansion in the state rainy day fund, the budget reserve fund. The credit rating for the state has gone up. And where the Democrats now are coming in with their budget is they're actually increasing there's two tax increases on the wealthy that they're pointing at. One is a capital gains tax surcharge for individuals making $500,000 or more. Or a couple's making $1 million or more. And then there's also a corporate tax increase. And Lamont is not going to like that. He's already come out and said he's against it. The issue is going to be that the Democrats do not have a veto-proof majority, so they're going to need to cooperate with the governor, whereas the governor needs Democratic majority to pass a budget. So they're going to have to compromise at some point. And to see where they're going to come down on a compromise is going to be interesting. Will they get to one before the end of the legislative session? It's hard to say. The Democratic budget actually targets some tax decreases for middle class families and also for working poor by expanding their earned income tax credit. So it's shifting where the tax revenue is coming in, taking some of the burden off of working poor and middle class families, and trying to get more out of the upper income earners. Lamont doesn't like that approach. He's been pretty clear about that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all falls in.
So this looks like, if we just look at the politics of it, as opposed to the budget part of it, because the budget part of it to me seems kind of crazy with all the money pouring into the state, that you'd be increasing spending and increasing, taking this opportunity that could be used to pay down some of the structural debt that makes every budget cycle a struggle, to let that opportunity go by and instead create new holes for yourself. I don't understand that. Do you have a take on that?
Well, I mean, they are doing that. In Lamont's budget, they proposed to do that. And that's why, for instance, he doesn't want to touch a lot of the rainy day fund, because, you know, he wants to keep up with the payment on the state's pension plan. There's billions of dollars of unfunded pension liability. And the Democrats proposed that as well. You know, one of the interesting spending things that the Democrats proposed in their budget is a $50 million bailout for restaurants in Connecticut, which have been decimated, obviously, as a result of the pandemic, starting to come back now. And the way they would do that is by taking a 1% surcharge on the meals tax and allowing restaurants to keep that revenue instead of having to turn that over to the state. So that's one area you could say, which is, okay, there's new spending there. But the Democratic budget does call for spending more money in a rainy day of the rainy day fund than the governor's does. But if you think about it, it has been a rainy day economically. So you could see merit to both sides, of that argument. And what I'm interested in politically is to see, okay, well, somebody's got to give somewhere. We're going to have a state budget. I don't think anybody wants a really prolonged fight. There is money coming into Connecticut from the federal government. Both the Governor Lamont and the Democrats who run the legislature have proposed to use that money as one-time revenue to shore up state finances this year. So, there are people with real needs. Those needs have to be met at some point. But in terms of your point, using more of that revenue to pay down some of those debts and unfunded pension liabilities, I mean, that's an argument Republicans have been making for a long time. But listen, they're not in the majority.
I'm not talking about Republicans.
Debts, but
I'm talking about what would be responsible and would also be prudent for Democrats, who are the ones who seem to hold permanent power in the state. And that means they're the ones who have to keep finding ways every 2 years to raise taxes so that they can pay down the increase in the debt payments that they have to make every 2 years. So they're the ones really who suffer this. And they're flooded with money right now, much to their surprise. And while the governor's claiming credit for it, in fact, it's kind of like a lottery victory, what's happened. The money pouring into the state because of the real estate market, the money pouring into the state because the stock market didn't go down during COVID, the $6 billion that are in hand or coming in soon from the federal government for COVID bailout, which is really just an incredible gift. But it strikes me that this is when one party rule, that when it runs into trouble. If there is plenty of money around and in everyone's eyes no need to say no to anything, then that's normally when splits in political parties develop, when they have to start fighting amongst themselves instead of an opposing party.
Well, that's what you're going to see. And the thing is what's interesting about Lamont as governor in terms of the state budgets is he sort of governs like a liberal Republican. He's got some traditional Republican fiscally conservative views, especially on taxation of the top 1% of income earners. I mean, he's one of them, and so he probably doesn't want to tax his own people. He didn't like the approach that Malloy took. And then, but the thing is in the beginning of the first budget cycle a couple of years ago, Lamont gave in to the progressives. He signed into law an increase in the minimum wage up to $15 an hour progressively over 5 years. But that was the high water mark in terms of progressive victories, legislative victories. And this year, I think progressives are going to find out that they're kind of disappointed in how progressive that governor is, because he doesn't seem to be enthusiastically supporting the public option for health coverage. He doesn't seem to be supporting some of the equity options in the pieces of the equity legislation for marijuana legalization, which is upsetting a lot of progressives. He also has backed away from a commitment to increasing education funding for some of the poorest districts in Connecticut. So, you know, there, in terms of a split among the Democrats, there you have it. You know, Lamont seems to be taking a more fiscally conservative approach, and I think the progressives in the party, whose votes he needs to pass stuff and ultimately to get reelected, they're looking at this saying, maybe this guy isn't such a progressive.
Well, he obviously isn't a progressive. He's just, kind of a dunce who slipped into the job because of personal wealth, and they're having to discover who he is. But it looks like who he is somebody who wants to win re-election, and he's got a consultant who's saying to him, you can't go along with a dramatic increase in the size of government and the size of government spending when you couldn't pay for the government you already had, and then set yourself up for another budget disaster. That will present a stance for opposition to run against you. And I think that would be a strong position for a Republican candidate to run against, is look at these lunatic lefties, and even the governor doesn't try to stand up to the left wing of the leftist party. And we just can't have this. That would be a good thing for Republicans. So he's taking the easy route, it looks that way anyway, and saying no to them so that they can be all mad at him and promote the fact that he's, quote-unquote, fiscally responsible. Don't you think that's what's going on?
Listen, that might be the political strategy, but the problem is that there has been quite a dramatic shift in where the Democratic Party is in Connecticut as compared to where it was even when he ran against Malloy in a Democratic primary in 2010. The party's grown, the progressive base of the party has grown, and he needs progressive votes to come out in cities like Bridgeport and New Haven and Waterbury and Hartford, New London, Torrance, wherever those votes are. He needs them if he's going to win re-election. And so, you know, you alienate those voters at a cost. And, you know, what's interesting is we're coming up on the fiscal year 22, where a lot of state employees are going to be retiring. So there could be an opportunity for Lamont to shrink the size of state government just based on the attrition that we're going to see at the end of this fiscal year. A lot of retirements mm-hmm. are going to come in. So will he take the approach? I know he's hired the Boston Consulting Group, and they're looking at, you know, right-sizing state government and maybe not replacing all the people who have retired with new hires. And, you know, so there could be somewhat of an interesting moment, a unique moment, where we could seriously see some spending reductions just because of the loss of personnel. And will the state government be able to handle that, well, you know, doing the job with less people? And so he might be able to make that argument, saying, hey, I shrunk the size of government.
Let's take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation with Av Harris, former spokesman for the Department of Public Health in the Lamont administration. More coming up on WTIC.
You rehearsed your driver's license photo in advance. To you, tinkering is TLC. And if waxing on and off truly made you a karate master, your roundhouse kick could throw the earth off its axis. You love your car. And at AAA, we get that. Which is why we put some extra love into protecting it. Because AAA agents realize that your vehicle is forged for much more than automatic windows and metal. It's made up of you. AAA Insurance. For auto, home, and life. Go to AAA.com/insurance to find an agent.
What do you get when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get someone who understands there's an art to listening.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Who's able to hear more than what's being said and can provide tailored mm-hmm. small business solutions that make you feel okay. truly heard.
I understand. Let's get started.
For advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and solutions powered by Intel vPro platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
I'm Dr. Andrea Russo, a cardiologist. Maybe you're waiting to talk to your doctor right now. But if you're having an irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, don't wait. This could be a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, which can make you about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you're having these symptoms, don't wait. Talk to a doctor by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hi, I'm Vin Capice, President and CEO of Middlesex Health. I want you to know that if you've been putting off getting the care you need, now is the time to reach out and make an appointment. All of our Middlesex Health offices and facilities are open, and we're taking extraordinary measures to keep you safe. We're even offering virtual visits if you'd prefer to get the care you need from the comfort of your home. To learn more about the steps we're taking to ensure your safety and about virtual visits, visit middlesexhealth.org/safe.
WTIC talking to Av Harris on a Friday afternoon. So I'm interested, Av, in how this might play out in your mind, this campaign, this split between the Democrats, as you call the legislature, and the governor. And I wonder how that fight goes. You're suggesting it might not go well for the governor if he's not radical enough for the people of the cities and towns, or, well, for the big cities in the state, actually, you're saying, where they will not like the idea of him disappointing the legislators who want big spending to be pushed. And this is what I'm curious about. How do you find that equilibrium point? How do you define that politically so you can have the line between the legislature, which he'll be trying to portray as overly generous with their desire to spend, and himself, without himself being portrayed as miserly and the friend of the rich? It looks like he's got a vulnerability, as you alluded to, where he is a rich guy. He never really had to work in his life. He's got a rich wife, just to put a cherry on top of the whole thing. Lives in Fairfield County, lives in Greenwich. Has a delightful lifestyle, and all his friends have the same thing, is the perception, and he wants to protect them rather than fight for people in cities. Isn't that a huge vulnerability for him?
Well, don't forget, he likes to go on vacation in Maine for a month in August, and he's had to curtail that to 2 weeks since he's governor. So, that's also.
So he's made his sacrifice for the people. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Okay. He has made sacrifices as being governor. No, but it's a good question. You know, it's interesting because if the Democrats in the legislature are saying, listen, we need to increase capital gains taxes to reflect on the stock market, which has, continued to perform strongly even throughout the pandemic. And, where does his wife make her money? Annie Lamont is a big time venture capitalist, and so a lot of her income is based on capital gains, and she does very well, and she, from all accounts, is a very smart investor. But I mean, so that he's not gonna want to support that. He never has. But I think what you point out is a very difficult position that the governor is going to be in, because I disagree with your characterization. Some of these spending commitments that the governor has walked back from, they're not radical. This is talk, when you look at where you fund, for instance, like public education in some of our poorest districts, there are studies that have been shown that in some of the wealthier towns, there are 2 to 3 times per capita the amount spent than in some of our poorest communities. And so a judge found that the way that Connecticut funds public education is unconstitutional because it's irrational. It's based on local property tax wealth. And so there have been great efforts and compromises and a lot of energy extended to try to correct some of these systemic problems that have been in place. And so when the governor proposes a two-year budget to say, you know what, we're just going to put a pause on trying to correct some of the inequities that have been, you know, plaguing our public education system for the last 50, 60 years. We're just going to put a pause on that plan and we'll get back to it in a couple of years. Well, you know how that goes. You never get back to it. I think that look at the amount of revenue that Connecticut has gained with people moving into the state because they're trying to get out of urban areas. They don't have to work in office buildings. They can work remotely. Connecticut has gained millions of dollars in income tax revenue. So the argument to say that, well, if you tax wealthy people, you're just going to have people fleeing the state. The income tax that has come in has been from some of those high earners.
That argument works on the other side of the coin. How do you go back and say we need to get money from these people when they're already the ones who are carrying the state?
Well, that's the whole point. The income taxes were increased. Connecticut did not lose population. Connecticut did not lose wealthy people. Connecticut gained wealthy people. Connecticut's getting more
because of COVID. Yes. Yeah. Right, that's why I said the state won the lottery.
Well, yeah, but I think that it's not necessarily a lottery because a lot of these changes, COVID accelerated, but they were already kind of in place economically. People were
30 seconds, by the way, Av. 30 seconds.
Okay, no, I'll wrap it up. But I mean, people, look, the economy was moving in a direction of more remote work anyway. And, you know, Connecticut's not such a bad place to live. And so I think that some of those changes are going to stay in the economy and Connecticut will benefit. Where it ends up politically is going to be it's going to be a tough choice for the governor because he's going to get dinged either way. But he's going to need the support of those legislators in order to get something passed.
Av Harris, thanks so much, sir. We'll see you again next week. Av Harris, former member of the Lamont administration, working in the Department of Public Health as the chief communications guy there, got fired in January for being a proper guy who did things ethically, as far as we can tell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.